Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hi.
Hey.
She even perked me up.
I was like, jerked up. I was looking at your face like, all right, who's gonna say something? Is anybody listening?
Oh, read me romance. Oh, I guess the intro song got you then.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to the Read Me Romance podcast. I'm Tessa Bailey. I'm here with Alexa Riley, also known as Leah and Mel.
Hey. We're here.
Yeah. We're psyched. It's Friday.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Yes. It's the final two chapter. I say two chapters, but I mean, like, it's the final episode on here.
I say installment. I'm still getting, yes. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to call it.
Because it's like, my brain is so, like, book oriented on, like, okay, what percentage are we at? Like, you know, or what location are we on? Mm-hmm. When all I need to say is, like, today's final episode. So, yeah. Welcome. It's Friday.
We just did the first week. I really enjoyed, even though it's myself, that you got like 2 points of view real quick.
Yeah, I did
so
like
I'm
that.
So I'm curious
like,
to see how it goes the other way.
Yeah, because the dual personalities is nice when you have like two chapters together because you get male and female. But, you know, it depends on how the book break down. Like in Tessa Bailey's book, it's, you know, there's one chapter a day because you did five really long chapters. But we're, you know, we have that squirrel brain mentality.
Oh, were they really long for you? They were really long? Like, you felt like they were dragging?
They were super long and boring is what I just wanted to say to you. Let me clarify. They were awful. But we're so quick, though. Like, we're like, oh, they meet. They bang. Blah, blah, blah. Like, let's move on. Happily ever after.
Because just like this podcast, when we can jump from one subject to another, that's how we are when we write. I posted a thing yesterday. People thought it was so hilarious, and I think they think I'm joking. I posted our book outline.
Yeah.
Because everybody asked us, how do you write together? And I pulled up a thing. I was like, well, I need to start thinking about this next book. And I pull it up, and I open it, because I already did the first chapter. And literally the outline is, she drives a cab, he gets inside.
That's our outline. And go.
I died when I saw that. I was laughing.
I didn't know
so
if you did
hard.
Or not.
I was like, and people think this is a joke. This is serious.
No, it was like, you guys wrote in complete sentences, though. You were like, she drives a cab. He gets into that cab.
She probably pulled it from her iPhone and pasted it.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Grammar's important, people. Grammar's important.
Because she's actually really good. Because like I said, I can be squirrelish about something. I could do like 10 things at a time. And if I say something about a book idea, she's great about jotting it down.
Yeah.
And then she'll bring me back to it later. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what those are. Just
say,
those jotted down
one,
notes.
I just don't write
she drops
it down.
It.
We just skip over it completely. I'm like,
I used to do these things where I would interview my characters before I even started writing the book. Like I would ask them 10 interview questions and then write down their answers. And then I would meet them on the page and then they would be nothing like, I don't know. When you meet your characters, they're different than you anticipated half the time. So like I just stopped doing that and I just decided to meet them first.
That's always fun with writing with somebody because sometimes Leah will surprise me. I'm like, oh, so he's an asshole.
Yeah. You never know what's coming.
All right.
Like sometimes, sometimes you like realize what their dynamic is going to be when they start talking and you're like, oh, okay, well, it's not going to work if they're both stubborn assholes. Like one of them has to be like a counterpoint to that. So,
well, how is it when you wrote with Eve Dangerfield? Did you guys alternate chapters like we did, or did you have like a set plan? Like how did you do that?
So for those of you who don't know, I wrote a book with Eve Dangerfield called Captivated, and the heroine is a comedian and the hero is a hermit. And I just, that laugh just sounded like I was so pleased with myself. I'm sorry. I was like, oh.
Did you do the girl's point of view?
Yeah, so I wrote,
because I can tell you were quite smitten with yourself. Because she's like this. She's got like her hand over her mouth, you know, like blushing. Like.
No, the hero. I wrote the hero and she wrote the heroine. Oh. So like I wrote the hero because he's like my cup of tea, which is like dark, brooding, quiet, strong, silent type. And she writes like these sunny, outspoken Australian girls that like, you know, curse and talk about sex and call people cunts. It's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun. I just wrote the, I would write my chapter and then I'd send it over to her and she'd write the heroine.
Okay. Did you outline? Like, it's where you flip flop.
We wrote a really, really detailed outline. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought.
What?
Never. I thought you were going to say loose. I was like, never mind.
No, we did, like, we improvised because sometimes things change and you don't, like, stick to the plan, obviously. But we did, like, I think we were both just trying to be really professional. We're like, I don't want the other one to know I'm a hack, so let me just make sure I make myself look good. And then, but then we just, like, ended up, I think probably we stuck to the first half of the outline and then just kind of, like, started improvising.
Yeah, that usually, that's why I think it's we don't weird do one. Because we never stick to it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we don't. It's like a waste of time.
Yep.
Let me, guys, here's a challenge for you guys since we're talking about plotting. I'm going to give you guys really, like, a short prompt and you guys plot a book around it. Ready?
Okay.
We did this to cab drivers.
I'm taking notes. All right, let's go.
Okay,
I'm taking
ready?
Notes in case this is something good. We want to use later.
Here's a challenge. Let's see if we can write it before this airs.
That's going to be a yes.
You guys can write this before the sun goes down today. Okay, ready? Here's your prompt. A girl is lost in a snowstorm.
Oh, we've written that.
I know, I was going to say next.
No, so one of the books we wrote was A Girl Was Lost in a Snowstorm, and she was found by her, like, shifter mate. So that was the, remember the shifter? It was the Three Bears one?
We're talking about different books.
The Three Bears.
We're talking about different books.
Was it Goldilocks?
Oh, no. We are talking about
you
different
guys write
books.
Goldilocks?
Mel's talking about the Christmas
That's
one.
So terrible.
And I'm talking about
we have
the
so
shifter
many books.
One. So we've done this several times. Oh, my God.
Okay.
We're always losing
so
bitches out in the snow.
Okay. So do you guys want a different prompt?
Yeah.
Or do you want to write a different, do you want to plot a different book with that same one?
No, give us a different one. No. Do you have one?
Fuck. Okay. Well, I only had one written down. Back here, so.
I'm sorry, we've done it all.
A girl gets into a cab. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It,
okay.
The plot was he sees her, picks her up, and takes her home. The
yeah,
end.
That's yeah. it. The end.
It fucks the
okay,
shit out of her.
Okay, a girl
doesn't
gets caught
leave.
Stealing a television from Walmart.
Oh.
Easy.
So is he the security guard? So he could be the security guard
no.
that catches her?
No.
He's the billion. No. He owns Walmart. Okay.
No. He owns Walmart and he just happens to be there. And he sees her on the monitor. And then he gets down there and she's a little bit feisty and she was stealing it for something. Maybe she's living on the street. Obviously, she's homeless. So we can make her cut off from the world and if she disappears, nobody will notice.
Mm-hmm. And he so has to have a kid.
He can just take her.
Exactly. So he has to have a kid to take over the Walmart so that he can spend his whole life with her. So he has to, like, breed her right away. So that he has an heir. All right.
He blackmails her. He's like, you yeah. can go to jail. And she could have been stealing this. The Perfect. TV for something. And he pays. And he ends up finding out why she was stealing it. Because she was trying to do it for something. And he goes and saves the day of whatever that was.
Mel, you know what?
Saving her
do you know what we've just done? We've just given Tessa this book idea. This bitch, you know what she's just done? She is stealing ideas. I just realized this is the sneakiest shit ever. You're asking us plot ideas.
Yeah, I'm
you're
sure our books are filled with plot twists that people don't see coming.
Tessa is going to
steal like,
us.
Oh, I didn't see Alexa doing that.
Uh-huh. This is suddenly, I get it. This is all Tessa's evil plan. To take over our book ideas and use them as her own. I get it now. This is smart,
I'm going to do a pink cover, just all pink. And just, like, she's going to have ruffles and bows
is
on her
name
socks.
Is the heroine's name going to be Alexa? That's all I want to know. I love it.
Okay. Well, okay. I have a question for you guys. My favorite TV show in the world right now that I've been watching every single night, I open my can of wine. I poured into a nice wine glass.
Can we guess it? Glass. Can you guess what it is she's going to say, Leah?
Wait, guess what I'm going to say. Guess which show I'm talking
about. I think we've talked about it before, but are you Bob's Burger? Are you still on that?
No, but that's a different, that's another show that comforts
okay.
me occasionally. Okay. But this one is The Great British Baking Show. Are you guys watching it?
No, but I've heard it. It's really good.
It's like one of the greatest things that's ever happened to this world.
So explain this show to me, because I don't know anything about it other than it's like, is it a baking challenge? Just tell me what it is.
It's like 15 British people in a giant tent in the English countryside.
What? They bake cakes.
What? They bake cakes. They bake breads. Okay. They bake puddings. And like every time they bake, and there's just all this like lullaby music playing in the background all the time. And they like put their final product on like a slow spin, you know, and like, and it's just like so comforting to watch it. It just, everything in the show is happy. Everybody gets along. They're all nice to each other. And really? Everything looks so yummy.
How is the show successful?
I want Gordon Ramsay to come in.
I know. How is this successful?
No, I don't hate him. I just hate the shows he's on. Like, Hell's Kitchen, none of those people are real cooks, right? I mean, like, they pick the worst people on purpose so they can yell at them, right?
Probably.
I don't know. That's what makes me wonder, how does this British show make it if everybody's so lovely? What are they doing? Is this like, is this possible?
No controversy. Everybody,
I know.
It likes everybody. That's what's the beauty of it.
So it's like,
that sounds so
Alexa
nice.
Riley making cakes. I mean, there's no conflict.
Yeah, there's no happy plot.
Fluffy. I want to go on the show now. Can we do this show? That's it. We're going to have a Read Me Romance live on the British Bake, Great British Bake Off.
Wait, that's your next, plot this book. Just so I can write it.
Got it.
Girl bakes a cake on a British baking show. And he's the judge. The reality show judge.
I love it.
Have you guys
it.
Written a reality show book?
No, wait, hold on. He's the executive producer of the reality show. He sees her cry off
camera. I was just thinking
she's
that!
She's really upset. Yes!
I love when we do that.
I love that. Let's do it. All right. We're going to...
Okay, so I've redeemed myself.
I'm making a note.
For,
hold on.
Yeah. Okay. I've just given you two
just like
beautiful
when
book
we...
ideas right now.
No, I love when me and her were like, we're about to say something, or we voice each other, and we voice each other the exact same
thing.
Plot.
Yeah. It happens all the time, which is frightening.
But actually, now that you said reality TV, no, I have not. But I do, if I recall, Jessica Clare has one, doesn't she? Called like Reality Something or Game Something. It's older, but it's about a reality show.
I don't know that one.
Let's check it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody's looking for that, I'm pretty sure Jessica Clare has one.
There's these two judges on the show, Mary Berry and Paul. And like Mary Berry is this just like very lovely older British woman with like beautiful hair and brooches. And like, and he's like a daddy. And
I'm in.
He goes around, and if he shakes your
Kate
hand,
and
it's
daddy.
Like a seal of approval. It's like this giant deal. He only shakes your hand, like only shakes two hands like per season. And it's if you do like a really, really good dish.
Oh.
And you can just tell every woman in the tent is attracted to him, like despite their better instincts. but it's so funny. There's like these little breaks in the middle of the show where Mary Berry and Paul like go sit off to the side and like they'll like unveil something that they baked and they'll each take a bite and they'll be like just super complimentary towards each other for like 10 minutes. And I just sit there and just cheese on my couch. I'm like, oh my God. It's so lovely.
I wish people could see your face right now. You're so happy right now.
I know.
That's how happy this show makes me. You guys. Yeah. It's a cold, cruel world out there. You should watch the British baking show. It just makes you happy.
It sounds so pure and happy. It does.
Canned wine, a cheese plate, British baking show.
Oh, maybe that has something to do with the look on your face right now.
Cheese?
Yeah, exactly.
I do love
canned
cheese.
Wine.
Ask anybody.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
Leah doesn't like cheese.
No, I do not like cheese.
Well, how do you comfort yourself at the end of the day? Do you watch something? Do you watch TV?
I'm working, like, Tessa. Do you see how many fucking books we have coming out? I'm writing at night. I'm writing during the day. If I'm awake, I'm in front of my fucking computer. That's I comfort myself with Alexa Riley books, okay? But no,
my brain doesn't function past 7 o'clock at night. I can't work after 7 o'clock.
Have you read our books?
I must drive you crazy then.
Oh yeah. Well, text messages are one thing, but like I can't look at my computer or make any kind of decisions.
I'm sorry if you guys hear that. It's the tornado alarms. It's the first Wednesday of the month in Africa.
Oh, wait, no. Do they test them?
The tornado alarms are going off.
How do you know if it's a test or if it's the real thing? And we're about to lose
first
you live.
It's the first Wednesday of every month. The alarms go off.
No, I kind of like it, though.
At 11 o'clock.
Because now we know what to listen for in the event of emergency.
You guys don't have tornado alarms?
No. We don't live in the Midwest.
Do you live in that tornado alley? Is that what they call that? Like, yeah. The part of the country where the tornadoes rip through and everybody just keeps rebuilding?
there's tornadoes that. Here, yes. I look at them like, you guys think that they're bigger than... Well, they are big, I guess. When you guys say hurricanes, those freak me out. Thinking about the water and living by the ocean, that's, like, scary. They're like, there's a tornado, like, 3 miles that way. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Walmart and get some donuts. I'll be back later. So it's east? Okay. Well, Walmart is that way, so we're good. I'll see you guys later.
Wait, I feel like I was just making fun of people who, like, rebuild their
houses. You 100% did. You're like, oh, those Wait, people who get their houses
I honestly
ripped
well, I was not, don't care.
I was not offended.
And don't want to
move
away
from
it.
But we do just rebuild them. Well, you... I think we think the same thing. We're like, why do you keep building that fucking house on that water?
Yeah, true.
Are you guys nuts? And we just keep plopping our houses down. We're like, that got tornado shelter under there? All right, good. Go.
No, but I wasn't. I'm going to just keep like, I'm just
going
to keep bringing
apologize.
It up and making myself feel worse.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I wasn't making fun of people who, you know, rebuild their houses.
You're
going
to need the bright, great British Bake Off after this to get you through it.
It's
to
fine.
Make you feel better about the horrible things you said.
I've been in a tornado and I was not offended. You're fine.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. So what are we talking about, guys? What's going
on?
Are we going to go ahead
up.
And play the final installment of Katie Roberts' Second Chance?
Well, that's too. I was like, we can talk about Christmas. What are you getting me? But then I guess
we
don't want to ruin the surprise. What?
What do you want for Christmas?
I really kind of want, like, the big ticket item that's in my heart right now is I want to try the Dyson, like, curling iron thing. But the thing, it's like $500 fucking dollars. And it's a curling iron. And I have a $10 Conair one that is just, it's my workhorse. And she's great. And I don't want to hurt her feelings by buying or getting this other one that's like $500. But it's a curling iron. But have you seen it? It's like, it's an air curler. Look, you hold your hair out like this. I'm doing a demonstration. You hold your hair out. You put the curling iron. And it's based on air rotation, and your hair wraps around it. You don't touch it. Like, your hair's out here, and you put the curling iron to it, and it goes whoop, and, like, wraps around it. And then you hit it with the cool
shot. So it does the work?
Yeah. It's, like, I watch YouTube.
Because I can't curl to save my life, but you're saying it'll curl for me?
Yeah, it does it for you. You pull out a strand of hair, you put the curling iron up to it, and it wraps around it automatically, and then you hit it.
You like how she tells us about this fancy curling iron?
You know what's good on a podcast?
Curl your hair
visuals.
After she makes us cut us off.
What'd you say, Mom?
She's like, cut your guys' hair off. Now let me tell you about this awesome curling iron.
Right, you totally set us up.
No,
for, yeah, like,
no.
You're the, only one that
the problem is like it's getting mixed. It's getting a lot of mixed reviews. If you watch some of the YouTube videos on the hair stuff, as I do, there's a lot of like beauty bloggers who have tried it out, and it's hit or miss. Like sometimes because you have to switch because it's actually just like this like the curling base, and you trade out the tops. It comes with 6 different tops, and so since it's an air-based curler, you have to have one that curls one way and another top that curls another way. So, like, if you want to do, like, both sides of your head, you have to use 2 different tops. Like, it's kind of confusing. But, so they were saying, like, some, you know, curling this way works well, curling this way doesn't. But, basically, it's for people who have kind of thick hair and it's wet. Like, you have to do it when your hair's damp. That's when it works best.
Wait, did you say thick and wet?
Thick and wet.
Tell me more.
I love taking this out of context. Let's do it. Dyson, can you sponsor this, please? I really want this curl in her.
Dyson, send us a couple to try out. What are you laughing at, Mel?
But it's just completely ridiculous, and I can't buy it for myself. So I'm going to tell my husband that this is the one thing that I want, and he's going to look at me like I'm an idiot, and then I'm not going to get it, which is fine. I don't need this fucking curl iron, but that's kind of like the big wish list. What about you guys? Do you have like a big wish for yourself that you're like, I really wish somebody would buy me this.
Not yet.
Because
I've been a nice.
Get it.
I want to like. I've been saying to my husband for a while these MVMT watches. Have you seen those? They keep coming up in my Facebook feed.
No.
Like,
what is it?
They're like MVMT, and they're just like all black. The watches. They're like all black wristband, all black face, and then like a little pop of gold, and it's just exactly my style. And so I've been sending him the link for those watches.
And then and hoping for the best.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm upstairs texting my putting my daughter to bed, I'll be texting him stuff I want for Christmas. I'll just text him the link. But I also want a nice bookcase. I have like one bookcase and it's stacked up to the ceiling. I just keep stacking things on top of it. I see all these people on Instagram that have these like fucking wall to wall, like, and every shelf has a different theme. And I'm like, I have nothing like that. I need a new bookcase. So that's what you
have a need for a bookcase and a want for a watch. I like that. Do you have something though?
A new sweater.
That I was just like, the only thing I asked for so far is that I was matching sweaters for my husband.
Yeah, Mel is wearing a Green Bay Packer, like a giant Green Bay Packers sweater right now with Christmas.
A Christmas sweater. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's big because I lost a bunch of weight, and so I wanted to get new ones. So I'm like literally in the bathtub, like looking at ugly sweaters I typed in, and they oddly it popped up because I'm a Packers fan and he's a Colts fan. It popped up next to each other and they're matching just your team, and he's like changing the light bulb in the bathroom. I'm texting him while he's changing the light bulb standing. I'm like, can we get these? He's like, do whatever you want, I don't care. I was like, but are you gonna wear it?
Wait, I have a better question. I have another question for you guys. What do you get your kids' teachers for Christmas?
I got them last year, I want to say like something, the Bath and Body Works does the car fragrance things. Like you can buy the little clips that go on your visor that are really cute. Like they have ones that look like bows, and like I got Mel one that's like a champagne bottle or whatever. It's like they have different like sometimes they have like they're just bejeweled, but you can change out the fragrance thing in it. So I got them like one of those with like a bunch of different fragrances because you never know what people like. And then I got them, like, a gift card to, like, Chick-fil-A. Because I feel like they deserve a break. What do you guys get? Do you get them stuff?
I did a gift box from Lush.
Holy shit! Look at you, like, coming for it, Tessa. Damn.
Well, like...
Can I get on this list?
Yeah, not to be a downer, but my kid has type 1 diabetes. And so they have to, like, really, you know, like, go the extra mile for her.
That's true.
And so, they have to make sure she goes to the nurse for her, you know, insulin and all that stuff. So, like, I feel like they're all, like, a big team, you know?
Yeah, that's really sweet. Looking out for her,
so I feel like I do a little bit extra. I wouldn't normally, you know, splurge that much, but...
No, I think that's super sweet. I get that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I should probably, like, I mean, my kids' teachers don't do, you know, have to go to that extent. But, I mean, dear God, they have to put up with my child. So, you know, they're struggling. So
they let us know what they like.
Your teachers do?
Like I remember last year they let us know, I'm pretty sure, because I remember being able to go out and select, like I went on Amazon and got her a Mizzou hat or something like that, or they'll tell you their favorite candies and stuff like that.
That's actually not a bad industry.
Yeah, they do. Like like there's a spreadsheet, but I live in the country in a smaller town. Like I see the teachers like in the bar and
crap. Oh, okay. So you guys, it's all like,
yeah, that's true.
It's close. Okay. All right. So let's play.
So get us all these things for Christmas is what we're saying.
Oh, you know what I do love about Christmas because me and my husband really don't do a gift exchange since we had kids and stuff. But since I'm in a group of chat with girls, like four girls, me, Leah, Jeanette, who does all of our signings, you generally know who she is because they take pictures with her. And then we have Eagle, our editor, and we all send each other a box of gifts from each other. So we get a ton of fun gifts, but they're not huge gifts, but it's just fun to open all these random things. So if you ever think about doing it with a couple of girlfriends, it's actually fun to find little things to wrap all in one box and send it.
Well, last year for my birthday, this past year, Mel sent me a huge box of stuff, and it was just a bunch of little things, but it was a huge box, and the wrapping paper was my face. She had taken a picture of me and had it made into wrapping paper, and so like I didn't even care what was inside. Like that was the greatest gift ever because it was just me. It was all about me. It was awesome. But I will agree.
That present was designed. That kind of a thing was absolutely designed for you.
Absolutely. I was like, oh,
we did that to Jen Frederick.
Do what?
Remember we did that to Jen Frederick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We did the same thing to her when
We brought her a huge box to RT book convention, I think in Dallas. We brought her this huge box and everything she opened, like it wouldn't end. And we're at this table with like 10 other people and it's like a pillow, a bath mat, and it's just me and Leah's underwear, face on every one of her
everything
gifts.
Everything you could think of had our face on it.
Yes, awesome. Our profile picture. And then everybody's like, oh my god, it won't end. And then we're like, it's okay guys, we got you all mugs.
And so we brought a big box of mugs to the table, so everybody got one. It was awesome.
With our faces on it.
And then 10 maitre d's come out carrying mugs on stage and like set them down at the same exact time in front of everybody.
Yes, exactly. It was like Indiana Jones, like when they come around with the monkey heads. It was just like that. Everybody was equally so horrified.
Okay. We're going to play the final installment of Katie Roberts, Their Second Chance.
Oh, shit.
Chance.
We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Hey, Katie.
You guys
hey,
haven't Katie. Noticed me trying to signal you?
No. No. We're all terrible right. with
It's
clues.
My fault. I kept asking questions. Okay. We'll, we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. And
bye.
Bye.
Chapter 5. Nomi stood there for a long time, staring at the door Isaac had very carefully not slammed behind him when he left her. For good this time. There should be something. Some kind of relief or clean pain or... But no. All she felt was a hole gaping open beneath her feet, one that would send her spiraling into darkness for years to come. There was no happy ending here. She likely didn't deserve one. It hadn't been like this last time. When Nomi cut things off with Isaac, she'd been heartbroken, but a tiny kernel of hope existed that they'd find a way. That kernel might have shrunk as weeks turned into months, into years, but it still existed, something she could set her course by. A tiny question of what if? What if they found a way? What if they made things work? What if love really could conquer all? Now she knew the answer. They couldn't. Things wouldn't. And love was only as strong as the two people willing to put the work into it. She walked back to the bedroom, but the rumpled bedspread only reinforced the fact that she would be sleeping alone. Forever. Nomi had embraced the comforting lie that someday she'd marry. It was expected, after all. But in the wake of her last time with Isaac, she couldn't stand the thought of another man's hands on her. Of sharing her bed, her life, her future with anyone but him. What am I doing? She shook her head and then did it again. No clarity came, but through the fog of her jumbled thoughts, one rose to the surface. No. No, she said aloud. She had sacrificed everything for her family. She had put her happiness and her personal desires on hold to ensure that Huxley didn't go under in the wake of her father's treason. 2 years later, they were fine. They were flourishing. If she couldn't follow her heart's path now, she'd never be able to do it. The path forward lay littered with pitfalls, and one wrong step could send them tumbling over the edge. But she looked at the bed again, the memory of what she and Isaac had done superimposing itself over the emptiness now. If she didn't try, she would spend the rest of her life regretting that choice. She would resent her family for being the excuse she used to push Isaac away once and for all. I love him, she said to the empty room. Nomi was no child. She knew that love wasn't a recipe for lasting happiness. But after nearly a decade of knowing Isaac, she knew Isaac. If they could navigate the first step forward, they could carve out their own path, together. This might be her only chance to see if it was even possible. She rushed into her closet and threw on the first thing she found, a dress that wasn't the least bit appropriate for this time of day. Nomi barely glanced at her shoes. She could sprint in heels, but she didn't want to take the time to put them on. In her head, a clock ticked down, marking the growing distance between her soul and Isaac's. Her opportunity was slipping away. If she didn't get to him now, she was certain he would never give her another opportunity to get the jumbled words in her chest out. Nomi burst through the door and down the hallway. As she left the wing with all the family suites, part of her registered that people were in the halls and staring at her disheveled appearance. But the rest of her was so focused on finding Isaac that she didn't give a damn. Each smack of her bare feet against the tiled floor became his name. Isaac. 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 She flung herself around a corner, heading for the section of the palace that housed the staff in the security headquarters, and caught sight of him farther down. He stood a head taller than anyone around him, and moved with a purpose she would have had a hard time matching if she wasn't so determined to reach him. Even so, he would outpace her in seconds, and once he reached the locked door of the security staff rooms, she would lose him. Nomi gathered what was left of the breath in her lungs and shouted, "Isaac! Isaac, stop!" The handful of people in the hallway scattered, pressing themselves against the wall as she sprinted past. They didn't leave, though. This gossip was too juicy to pass up. The head of the Huxley family causing a scene and chasing down Isaac Kozlov. He stopped and turned slowly to face her, his expression thunderous. "Go back to your rooms, Lady Huxley." "Fuck that." She skidded to a stop in front of him. "I love you. I love you, and I'm sorry, and I'm a fool for thinking there was anyone out there for me but you. It's you, Isaac. It's always been you, and it will always be you." He gave her nothing, but that was okay. He'd put himself out for her again and again and again over the years, and she'd always held part of herself back, had always known that it couldn't be forever. That ended now. She went to her knees in front of him. "In the time I've loved you, you've asked me to marry you 524 times. It used to be a joke that was never quite a joke. He'd look at her with so much love and propose, and she'd deflect the conversation to save her topics. Every single time. No more. He stared. "You counted." "I love you," she repeated. "I love you. And I should have said yes the first time. I can't take all those missed opportunities back, but I can start again now." She glanced down at her empty hands. "I don't have a ring, but I'll get you one. Marry me, Isaac Kozlov. I love you, and I don't want us to be a dirty little secret anymore." He looked over her head as whispers swept the hall. "I think that cat's out of the bag." "I'm sorry." Her throat threatened to close, but she muscled past the response just like she muscled past the burning in her eyes. "I'm so, so sorry. I don't deserve for you to say yes, and I know I have penance to pay. I deserve that and more."
"Fuck, Nomi."
He bent down and pulled her gently to her feet.
"I'm sorry I left the way I did, but you don't have to do this. It's forgiven. Everything's forgiven."
The knot around her heart only tightened in response. She reached up and cupped his face. "No, it's not. It's not forgiven yet, and that's okay."
"None of the shit that held us apart has changed."
"Fuck that shit." She twisted to glare at whoever of the onlookers had gasped. "Seriously, people? If you're going to eavesdrop, then do it silently."
"Nomi."
A thread of amusement worked its way into his tone.
"Your family will lose their collective minds."
"I don't care. I'm head of family, and I've sacrificed quite enough for them. They'll deal with it." She took a tiny breath and let her hands drop. "I know it's not that easy, Isaac. God, I know better than anyone. But if you love me, we can make this work. So I guess that's the only question left to answer." She moved back a little, trying to give him space. To hold her head high enough, even though she was in danger of begging at his feet for him to give the response she desperately needed. "Do you love me?" He searched her face as if he'd find the answer to her question there.
"Nomi."
Isaac cursed long and hard.
"Come here."
He hooked an arm around her waist and pulled her to the security door, glared at the camera above it, and then towed her inside. Just like that. They were as close to alone as anyone ever got in this palace.
"Nomi, what are you doing?"
"I love you," I don't know how many different ways I can say it. The burning in her eyes increased and a single betraying tear slipped free. She lifted her chin, suddenly realizing that this might not play out like she'd hoped when she made her ill-advised sprint after him. God, I'm sorry. I'm making a scene, which is the last thing you want. It seems that I'm endlessly setting myself up to apologize to you. I'll just go.
Hold the fuck on.
He planted his hand on the wall next to her head, stopping her before she had a chance to move.
You can't just run in here like some kind of avenging Valkyrie, spill out words that I never thought I'd hear from you, and then bolt before I have a chance to process. Just hold the fuck on for a second, okay?
Okay, she said meekly. Isaac closed his eyes for a long moment, and when he opened them, the wildness had bled out.
You love me.
Yes.
You want to marry me.
Her breath hitched in her throat. Yes.
What changed in the last 10 minutes? Because we were saying goodbye when I was inside you, and now you're making a scene on your knees and asking for forgiveness.
She could do this. She'd already made a fool of herself. What was a little more truth in the face of so much possibility? The price of losing you forever is too high. I won't pay it. I won't let you go if there's a way forward, and if we can't find one, then we'll damn well make one.
It won't be easy. They'll ostracize you for it.
They'll try. Huxley holds the favor of the crown and both consorts. They can't afford to do more than snub us. He still hadn't answered her, and the little kernel of hope in her chest flickered dangerously. If you love me, we'll make it work.
If I love you.
He gave a harsh laugh.
Woman, I've loved you since the day I met you. There is no if. It's fact.
Then, he sifted the fingers of his free hand through her hair.
You're sure? You know me, Nomi. You put a ring on my finger, and there's no going back. No changing your mind. No worrying about what people might think. I'm yours and you're mine.
She was so sure, she could barely get the words out. Marry me, Isaac Kozlov. Please.
Yes.
He lowered his head and kissed her, and then she was in his arms, wrapped up in his body as he plundered her mouth, answering with his body the same way he'd answered with his words.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Applause broke out somewhere close. And they broke the kiss long enough to see the king and both his consorts grinning like fools. The king gave a slow smile.
About damn time.
Consort Galen rolled his eyes.
Weddings make everyone crazy.
Their third, Meg, laughed. If that isn't the truth, I don't know what is. She gave a little wave. Congrats, you two. And as much as I don't mind the whole PDA thing, you might consider not going to town against that wall, she winked.
Right. They had an audience. Always.
Isaac started to loosen his grip on her, but Nomi tightened her legs around his waist. No way. I'm not letting go of you anytime soon. She leaned up and caught his earlobe with her teeth. What do you say we go to the suite and celebrate after we schedule an appointment with the jeweler?
Not wasting any time, are you?
Hell no. I think we've wasted more than enough. A giddy laugh bubbled up inside her. I'm not giving you a chance to change your mind. I'd be calling a priest right now if—
You're right, the king cut in. We should definitely call a priest.
He snapped his fingers, but Galen was already dialing. He looked at his own phone.
The jeweler is on her way.
And that was how Nomi found herself, a mere hour later, standing in front of a priest with a new ring on her finger, the royal triad at her back, and the love of her life holding her hand. He grinned down at her.
Last chance to change your mind.
Not on your life. She squeezed his hand and turned to the priest. We're ready.
We are gathered here today.
Nomi looked up into Isaac's pale eyes as the priest spoke the familiar words and mouthed, I love you so much.
I love you too, Nomi.
He gave her one of his rare smiles, a gift all the more special because of how close she'd come to losing him. Their path forward wouldn't be the simplest or the easiest, but it was theirs and theirs alone. There was only one man she wanted next to her for the duration, and he stood in front of her, wearing her ring on his left hand. Always and forever.
Hi, we're back.
We are here.
No, Leah, you cannot give them all your registry from Amazon. Your wish list.
Our P.O. box.
I will not put that in the quick links.
I am going to post our P.O. box on our Instagram in case anybody wants to send us Christmas cards. We love them. Send them our way. Our Dyson or the Department 56 Harry Potter collection that just released today. Okay. Just throwing it out there, guys.
So let me tell you the rundown. Katie Robert has a new book out this week called There Is Ever After. Like,
yay!
This came out, like, I think last week. Yeah, Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday of last week. It's MMF, and there's a free prequel called There Is For the Night. So check that out. The links are going to be in the episode description. The Last King by Katie Robert is normally $5.99, but it's on sale for $1.99 this week. You know, suspense, family feuds, enemies to lovers, is a bad boy, all the good stuff. Their Second Chance, which we're listening to right now, the ebook is up for pre-order. So we're going to stick that pre-order link in the episode.
And also, just want to add the narrator for this week. If you guys like it, you can see that on our Read Me Romance page. The narrator should be listed on there for who did the book. And just give him a shout out if you like it. We always like to just sort of feature the narrators and what a great job they're doing and how much we appreciate them for sticking with us through this chaos and coming at us as fast as they can. So, and again, we'll try to post those on our social media too, just so you can see it. And just follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, or find me at readmeromance.com.
And make sure, if you're always looking for new releases like I am, I'm always scrolling for stuff, be on our newsletter, because I send out weekly new releases and new books that are on audio and things like that and sales that are going on that I think you guys should grab up.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. It's the holidays.
Bye.
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 Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read.